This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, we're going to talk about the Color Rush 2019 coming up in our second half hour. Austin Begay is here, and I think with some of the Youth United who are a part of that project. But first, I will admit, he is one of my favorite people in our community. And he used to work for KPQ years and years and years ago. How long ago was that, Pat Haley?
Oh, gosh, that was in the 80s. Early
80s, oh my goodness. You were in high school, right?
Oh, right, I was just a neophyte.
Well, his voice is familiar at Eastmont Sporting Contests, so you certainly are familiar with seeing his voice. So you run into him all the time, but he is busy with a brand-new endeavor with the real land of opportunity, that's for sure. Quincy, things are hopping out there.
Boy, Dave, they sure don't joke about that now.
Yeah. Someone was very prophetic when they came up with that city slogan.
You've really got to admire their vision. Years ago, many years ago, they had a sign that said, land of unlimited opportunities. And, of course, that's always an invitation to some graffiti artist to scratch out limited and write in un or not limited, whatever. Anyway, it has gone from trying to figure out where they're going to get money to replace the nets on the outdoor basketball court to brand new high schools and other public facilities in just about 10 years. It's just been incredible for the little town of Quincy.
Well, I know you're a man of faith. One door closes, another window or door opens, another opportunity. You made a strong run for Douglas County Commission a couple of years ago, and all you can do is give it your best shot. Didn't quite work out, but a wonderful new opportunity came your way to be the new city administrator in Quincy and talk about all the things that are happening there. That's why we wanted to have you come on today.
Well, Dave, thank you. I you're correct in saying that I believe that things are in control by someone else, and the best that we can do is just to place ourselves out there and to see what happens. You're correct. I ran for Douglas County Commissioner, and it was a great experience. You connect with your neighbors, and you visit houses that you would never normally knock on, and unless you're a trick-or-treater. And, of course, 60-year-old guys trick-or-treating is another problem. But I visited over 5,000 homes around the Douglas County area, got to know some neighbors. My wife, of course, grew up in East Wenatchee, and she was able to connect with counselors and teachers and classmates, and we were offered glasses of wine. Come on in. Let me show you my kids, my family. Look at this view. And it was just a great experience. And I think as a result of that, you learn to the people's side of government. And there's a technical professional side, but we all know that there's a very big people's side. And running for county commissioner was just a great training opportunity, Dave, for me to connect with my neighbors in a new and fresh way.
So the opportunity came open in Quincy to be the city administrator. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Quincy. They've got all those data centers there, and so my daughter teaches in Quincy. We went and saw she teaches at Ancient Lakes, right, which is a remodeled facility. They've done a marvelous job there. And so she has a key, so she could show us her classroom. We went there Labor Day weekend. But we marveled at the high school. The high school is incredible. That is an amazing facility. We drove through the new neighborhood that's just right there, new housing development going in there. So what have all those data centers, for instance, meant for the city coffers? What is that allowing the city of Quincy to be able to do municipally?
Well, when I was a part of the Port of Douglas in the early 2000, we were starting to see the advent of data centers coming here to North Central Washington. The first one went into the Port of Douglas County, the CTC building on the second floor, and that was kind of a breakthrough, and then Sabey came and built a facility out there at the airport. I was a part of the team that facilitated that. And I remember Dave Sabey telling me at the time, and one of their big clients was T-Mobile, he said, this is the tip of the iceberg. And boy, was he prophetic, because not long after that, the whole data center industry started looking at land around the Columbia Basin. And that's a big part of it. I mean, these are several hundred thousand square foot facilities, you know, kingdom kind of facilities. And admittedly, we just don't have space for those kind of facilities here in Chelan or Douglas counties. And so Grant County was a public power utility, and that provided a low-cost power rate. Plus, they had a big fiber optic line that went right by the city there, Dave, to where the Westin Towers are over there in Seattle. That's the central hub. And so they had land availability, cheap power, and a community that was saying, gosh, this, come on, you know, love to have you. And so there was a lot of development opportunities. Now, Microsoft is building the largest data center facility in the world there in Quincy. I don't know if you pay attention to the stock market. Not long ago, they were listed for a brief time as a $1 trillion company. And they've since backed off. I think they kind of trade places with some other companies, maybe Amazon. But a part of that growth had to do with their cloud services. Well, that's what's happening in Quincy.
That's where it's going to be.
So it's just a great opportunity. And then many others have followed that pathway. And there's about a half a dozen of them there, including Sabey, who went down there with their second facility.
What is that allowing Quincy to do? And we're talking with Pat Haley, the new city administrator for Quincy. What is that allowing Quincy to do? Is that easing the requests that you have to, for instance, come to, say, a city residence for, you know, in terms of taxes? Is it going to alleviate the pressure, hey, when we need to fund street improvements, things like that? Does having a rich municipal businesses there in town really pave the way for a bright future for the community?
Well, two things happen, Dave. You have initially with the construction of a facility like that, you have, and this is true for any location, you have sales tax. And sales tax is a result of materials that are being purchased in a part of the building process. And for a city, they get a share of that sales tax. You know, here in Chelan, Douglas County, we use a portion of that for Link and for the Town Toyota Center. So the portion that came to the city of Quincy is what the city refers to as windfall. You know, that's not going to be there every year because the construction is going to be completed. So typically we use those sales tax resources, windfall, for capital improvements of facilities. And little towns all over eastern Washington, you know, they struggle with city halls and police stations and public works buildings. And Quincy was in the same kind of position. So with the construction, the capital resources of that were generated from sales tax went into new buildings. So we have a new police station, a new city hall, a new public safety building, a new library. And in addition to that, as other capital improvements. We're looking at a recreational facility for outdoor school events. Then you have a property tax, and that's a result of a very expensive building on a piece of land that was once time just used for ag, and so the tax rate had a significant adjustment, and those are sales tax revenues, I mean property tax revenues that come to the city. You know, a portion goes to the state. That's a part of their revenue stream as well. But a portion comes back to the city. And so we use those for improved maintenance and city services. In addition to all of that, you have infrastructure that's necessary for the residential development you saw there. That's municipal wastewater and water services. The food processors have wastewater needs. And now we're finding out data centers use water cooling. And when they finish their recycling of the cooling, they blow back that water, and it has a different wastewater treatment process that's necessary than, say, municipal or for food processing. And so you have to construct a facility. And the data centers, mostly Microsoft, are paying for facilities to treat what they call blowback water. And that is trying to create a system where you don't have to, you can just recycle that water. You can treat it, reuse it again, supplement it with some other water resources, and just keep cycling it back in to the system. And so we've been very busy trying to respond to all the growth, providing infrastructure, using the increased resources for capital improvements, and providing improved city services for the residents of the town.
What about you going to run out of electricity for future growth there in the city of Quincy itself? It still seems like there's a lot of land around there, and so you could see, hey, we'd like to build another data center there, or we'd like to build some more homes there. So it looks like there's still a lot of land.
Well, there is a lot of land, and, you know, of course, when you referred to the city of Quincy having power, you meant Grant County PUD. Yeah. And, they have a different power structure or different rate structure or availability power structure for their residents than, say, in Chelan and Douglas counties. Douglas County is usually dry land farming, not a lot of irrigation, but they use irrigation for orchards along the river so that have access to the water. Same thing in Chelan County. Where in Grant County, it's mainly irrigation. A lot of land was used. The power is initially used for irrigation. The data centers came along, and of course, they had big power demands as well. And the PUD down there is admittedly trying to find their resources to provide for the existing customers. They've basically said we can't have new data centers coming because we don't have power availability. But what's there, they're obligated to provide for their existing customers. They have, in their power contracts, they have first priority for any of use that's local. So if you're a power user there, whatever power available that they're producing from the dams, the first priority goes to local industries or local residences or local companies. And so they're supplying what we have.
So what's new on the horizon for the city of Quincy? What's the next big project? Whether you know we've got to fix a sewer or we've got to improve this or that. What's kind of on the drawing board for Quincy?
Well, Dave, the infrastructure for the data centers is and the food processors is our biggest priority. We had a slight adjustment to the wastewater. Here you've got a Columbia River, so that when you treat the water, and ecology is very specific as to the level of treatment, and basically you can drink the water coming out of the treatment plants before you can put it back into the Columbia River. Well, we haven't got a Columbia River to discharge our wastewater, and so prior to a number of years ago, we were putting it in the canal. Well, the United States Bureau of Reclamation said, that's a risky thing for us, for our farmers. If we're putting industrial waste into our canal, ecology might re-examine how that water is being used and be problematic for other farmers. So they told us you can't put water, your wastewater, into our canal. So now we've had to try to find another place to put it. And now we're looking at land applications for food processing. We're looking at percolation ponds for municipal waste. And this recycling for the data centers is another treatment system. And so that's the biggest challenge for me right now, is responding to the infrastructure, including all the new homes that are going in there. And they're putting in like 200 blocks of, or 200 units, in the Quincy area, which is extraordinary.
Yeah, and where are these people and buyers coming from? Are these people coming to Quincy? Are these people moving up from maybe they were renting and now are finding, hey, it's an affordable market for me in Quincy because of the land values and that new neighborhood right next to the new high school? Those are very nice-looking homes.
Yes, it's extraordinary to see the development that's occurring there, and it's a kind of a combination of both. You know, if you're moving to the area, you don't immediately go out and buy or build a new house. And so a good majority of those are people who have now good-paying jobs, either in food processing or at data centers, and who have lived in Quincy because those local companies are very good about hiring locally. Of course, the community colleges and the universities have been providing graduates so that they can, if you went away to the university, WSU is where I recommend. But if you went away and you want to come back, now there's a technology job that is the cutting edge ready for you. And so you might move up from a home that you have into something nicer because you've got a higher income rate. So it kind of moves the middle class up into something a little bit more upper class, and it kind of opens up the lower level housing to new prospects. And so it's a whole feeding of the community rather than just exclusively brand new people coming into town.
So are homes still affordable in Quincy, or any danger of people getting priced out of the market there with all this escalator effect going on there?
Well, you know, the price of home, if you want to live next to a school and you want to live next to a park and if you want to live next to recreation and if you want to live next to shopping, that's the price is going to be high for that. That's just the facts of life. And so if in here in East Wenatchee, which is, you know, where the housing market is just really exploding, that's why it's so expensive, is because all of those resources are there. Quincy still has a few limitations because they don't have the shopping or the parks. You know, they have great schools, and so it's great for families. So the market, I would say, is less than, say, here or Leavenworth or Chelan, you know, where the value is very much higher. You know, you can still go down to Rock Island, or you can still go up to Waterville and find pretty affordable housing for the reasons that they don't have the same resources that, say, East Wenatchee or Wenatchee has.
Well, Pat, really happy for you landing the new post with the city of Quincy as city administrator. He'll be the voice you hear when we have news stories involving the city of Quincy now. Newly taking over as of basically about July 1st, so it hasn't been long.
Right, Dave, the previous administrator retired. They brought me in for a couple months as the deputy, which was intended to train me for all of the knowledge that goes along. He had been there for 14 years, and so there was a pretty steep learning curve. And, of course, I'll be still learning that over the next months ahead. But as of July, the city council, and it's a great team of people that are part of that organization, they've brought it this far. I kind of feel like I'm riding in on a wagon that's already been moving along. I'm just kind of jumping on. But it's been a great opportunity, and I took that over in July.
Yes. Well, congratulations to you, and thanks for joining us on the program today. Well, we're going to talk about the Color Rush 2019 with United Way and Youth United. That's next on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Okay, it is almost time for Color Rush 2019, and joining us, I'd been mentioning Austin Begay, but Austin has enlisted the help of two young men with Youth United, Eduardo Mata and Ezekiel Schritter. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining us on the program today. They are with Youth United. And, fellas, y'all ready for Color Rush 2019?
Oh, yeah. Color Rush is going to be really exciting this year.
Now, I notice Ezekiel has on a purple shirt. Eduardo has on a red shirt. But and that's in keeping with the theme, of course. Color Rush, I've never been to it. I've seen plenty of pictures of it. And everyone is colored with, I guess, it's probably like cornstarch, right, as they make their way through the stations. Ezekiel, we'll start with you. What is kind of the purpose of everyone getting blasted with different colors they make their way along the course? What's that all about?
The colors is really just to get people encouraged to come down and have fun together as a community. We do it as a fundraiser for a lot of different programs we have. We have these things called SOF, Student Opportunity Funds, and a lot of the money, actually 100% of the money that we make, goes into that. And we give that back to students for mini grants at the schools, test fees, scholarships. We just give money out to students who apply. That's where all that money comes from.
Now, Youth United is a part of United Way, but Youth United is a great program. Eduardo, what do you enjoy about it?
What I first really like about it is, first of all, the great people you get to meet, and now it's like all student-led. So basically, it's like we all plan events with the help of our advisor, and basically it's just like an overall great opportunity to like grow as a person, meet new people, and basically it's overall good experience.
Now, either of you guys helping organize the Color Rush 2019 this year?
Oh, yeah, we're really involved, especially being president and vice president of this group. We are hands-on making all the plans happen as we come up with it.
Okay, I want to let you know that our team from the yellow station, I guess, where you get blasted in yellow, is being co-sponsored by Kissin' 97.7, our sister station. So there's something, there's a different route this year, I understand. So who can tell us a little bit about the course this year for Color Rush 2019?
Yep, so today, instead this year, instead of starting from the Pybus, we started at Town Toyota Center. First of all, at bigger centers, and then we basically go around through the park instead of just kind of like taking a loop.
Okay. So what happens? Is this, how long is the course? And again, this is not a running thing or a time thing. It's all for fun, but about how long is the course and how many different stations are there where you get to go through and get blasted with color?
So the Color Rush is 5K, and basically there's around roughly like five stations that basically get sprayed with colors.
Okay. And at the end, you look like a rainbow, right?
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then at the end, we have a bigger blast where we just take all the colors and we throw them up in the air and get even more colorful as a big community.
So who has more fun, getting blasted with the different colors or the people that are working each station and ready to blast their whatever color they're doing on the participants as they go by? I'm not sure who's having more fun.
Well, if I was running, I would definitely have more fun running because as I'm going by, it's my work of art on my shirt.
There
you
go.
I would feel better with that.
By the way, when you get this stuff on you, we don't want to deter anyone from getting involved with feeling like, well, how am I going to get that stuff off me? Does it wash out pretty easy?
Yeah, it washes out really easy. It's just cornstarch with dye in it.
But you want the shirt. You want your shirt. So, you know, probably maybe wear like a white T-shirt, or how does that all work?
Oh, we give out T-shirts.
You get the T-shirts. Okay, uh-huh. So fill me in on this.
Every year when you buy a ticket to participate at Color Rush, we give you a shirt. And it's white, and it'll just be colored as you run by.
That becomes the canvas, and that's your badge of honor, I guess, as that gets all colored up. How many people usually participate in Color Rush each year?
Usually it's like a ton of people, like roughly around a little bit over 1,000. It keeps just kind of growing.
That's awesome.
But
isn't
this
that
year
incredible?
We're expecting a lot bigger. We've been putting a little more work into advertising and putting more work into the fundraising aspect of that. We've included a few more sponsors this year, so I think this year is going to be a little bit bigger.
This would be fun for you to do as a organization, a team, a bunch of folks from your office, your school, your church, you name it. That's kind of the whole idea, or just your family maybe, to get signed up. How do you get signed up, Eduardo?
Yep. So to sign up for the Color Rush this year, you sign up at www.colorwenatchee.com.
ColorWenatchee.com. That'll take you right there. How much does it cost to get signed up, Ezekiel?
This year it's $35 per person, but there are discounts with children under.
Okay, so all that information's on there. So
yeah, all the information's
online. There's a
children's
discount. Okay, you can take some young ones. Maybe even if I've seen pictures, even little ones, maybe in a stroller, and so it's not harmful to the little ones or anything like that.
Like, and this year, if you're 5 years or younger, it's for free.
Okay, free for the kids five and under. How many years have you been in the Color Rush, Eduardo?
I've been attending it for like the past like roughly 5-6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I see the big smile on his face, like you can't wait.
That's true. I'm like really ecstatic about the event.
Okay, so when is Color Rush? What's
September 15th.
Okay, so it's coming up, so not this weekend, but coming up next weekend. New route on the Apple Capitol Loop Trail through Walla Walla Park, Walla Walla Point Park, and Riverfront Park. Starts down at Town Toyota Center, and where does it kind of finish up at, or is it kind of a loop?
It's kind of a loop. There are a few crossovers, but it'll end right back up at the Town Toyota Center.
Okay, I want to give you an email address if you'd like some information back as well, and that's events at UWNCW, that's short for United Way of North Central Washington, .org. So events at UWNCW.org if you'd like some information back on maybe a particular question. Or you can call 662-8261, 662-8261. And Ezekiel or Eduardo, that website again that you mentioned already for more information and to get signed up for Color Rush 2019?
www.colorwenatchee.com.
Okay, there you go. We're talking with Eduardo Manta and Ezekiel Schritter. How long have you guys been in Youth United?
This is my third year as part of the Youth United program.
Okay, and Eduardo?
Yeah, I've been roughly around, like, again, 5-6 years.
Okay, 5-6 years. And you guys are holding, you guys are officers with the organization. What are you kind of learning in this this role? How's it maybe helping you in school, or maybe putting this down on the college resume? Because it's important to take on this sort of leadership, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm learning a lot of good experience with networking, being able to talk to people a little more easier. Before, I wasn't able to make phone calls as easily as I am now, but now being able to reach out to people is super easy, and I've just learned a lot.
What do you think you want to do in your future once you get out of school?
I actually feel like I might continue on with this, going to nonprofit. Follow in Austin's footsteps.
Okay, follow in Austin's, yeah, be a nonprofit leader.
Yeah.
Wonderful, that's wonderful. Eduardo, what are your future plans? And first off, let me start off, what do you think you're kind of, learning in this, particularly in this leadership role?
Yeah, so basically, I think it's helped me a lot, like, build character, really, like, teaches you about giving to others, being selfless, and, like, what you can do for a community.
You feel like a little bit of a role model, maybe to some younger siblings or some younger kids that may be looking up to you?
Yeah, I would like to probably be like a role model to them, to kind of show them that there's a ton of ways you can help the community. And, like, it's always like a great experience, just like giving back, you know, just being selfless, not expecting anything in return.
Okay. Now, what are your future plans maybe as a career or furthering your education?
I would like to pursue a degree in engineering, but at the same time, I still want to keep that aspect of, like, helping the community, like, by doing, like, social relations or, like, kind of, like, networking.
Okay. Well, their parents should be proud of both of you young men taking on this role. And I know Austin is because he said you guys take on this role. And that's, again, all part of the training and the leadership. So Youth United is what Color Rush is all about. You can help support this organization and the many projects they do helping our youth in the community by being in Color Rush. Again, it's coming up on September the 15th. I got the date right? Okay, when does it start? We didn't cover that.
Yeah, so it starts at 9 a.m. and till like noon.
Okay, can you get signed up the day of?
You can get signed up the day of as well as the day before at the United Way office and online for sure anytime.
Okay, so again, we're going to give you the contact points one more time here. Events at UWNCW.org. 662-8261, or we'll go back to Eduardo one more time for that website if you'd like to sign up online.
www.colorwenatchee.com.
Okay, colorwenatchee.com. It's Color Rush 2019. We'll take a very quick break, come back with a final note or two about Color Rush 2019 on the agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, on News Radio 560, KPQ, most of our listeners are probably not the age of Ezekiel or Eduardo, but you may pass this great information along, and that is that maybe you have someone in the family or a grandchild that you could share this information with. With Eduardo and Ezekiel, their participation, you guys know that your participation can help earn credit towards getting a varsity letter. So it's your participation helps importantly in school academically. So share a little bit more information about that, Ezekiel.
Okay, so if you are in 6th to 8th grade, you can earn the YES medal, which is stands for Youth Engagement Service, and that only takes 75 hours of community service, which over a span of 365 days in a year is not that many hours. When you're in high school, you can earn a varsity letter, and that takes 145 hours of service, which again is not as many hours throughout 365 days.
So I imagine you guys are well on your way to doing that, or maybe have already done that by being officers in the organization. You put in a lot of time, but I imagine you really enjoy doing it, right, Eduardo?
Yep. I really like the experience. Everything is just like an amazing way to like help others.
Okay. So you'd recommend it to anyone your age and even younger, down into the 6th grade even?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, get involved. How do you find out about getting involved as a youth in Youth United? Just call up United Way and say, hey, I'd like to find out more, or is there information at the schools?
Yeah, there is not too much information at the schools, but we have an Instagram page, and you can follow that. Eduardo, what's the Instagram?
Yeah, Student United Way of North Central Washington, or SUWNCW, which you can follow, and basically post about events coming up, a little bit when our meetings are. So if anybody would like to attend them, they're more than welcome to come.
Okay. So just tell your youngsters or your grandkids, just look for it on Instagram, and they'll be able to find it, trust me. Alrighty.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for coming in. Hope we get a great turnout. Goal is to get about 1,000 people to participate this year in Color Rush 2019, coming up on September 15th. New route this year starts at Town Toyota Center. And again, our guests, Eduardo Mata and Ezekiel Schritter, on the agenda. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.